Hello, hello, hello. How are you, Miss Sia? It's good to see you, but I haven't dropped one of those in a while. I was due for one.
Sia wouldn't want to be. You come up with something new, as always. I tell everyone, come up with something new. I would be most humble, most appreciative.
Speaking of humble, that was a good segue into today's guest with Humble Design, but we'll get to Trigger later. You didn't even plan that. That was super fun.
Maybe it was like, mental.
Yeah. Telepathy or something along those lines. But we've had a short week because we were spending a lot of time together last week on Tuesday and our Giving Tuesday event, which we'll talk about here shortly. But that event, as well as today's show, is not possible without our sponsor, Speakeasy Custom Tattoo. And if you don't know, Speakeasy Custom Tattoo is located in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago in the historic Flatiron Building. With over 30 years of experience, they have a curated staff of magnificently talented local and international artists, and they continue to host monthly guests from all over the world. They're an appointment-only custom tattoo shop offering a wide range of styles in a clean and relaxing environment. And no matter the style you're looking for, they will absolutely help make your vision come to life. So be sure to check out their artists on the website at www.speakeasycustomtattoo.com. Be sure to tell them Chris sent you. It's likely you'll see me in the chair next to you. Sia, you know how I feel about Patrick and Kelly, my friends at Speakeasy. But we have a lot to get to, so let's kick off the show with that amazing video, huh?
Awesome. Let's do it. And by the way, they do amazing work, and I'm usually pretty judgy when it comes to tattoos. So 100%. It's Sia judgy. Approved.
Judgy. I love how you admit you're judgy. That was so funny and so cute, as I'll say, because you don't have any tattoos, do you?
No, I'm a big wussy. Yep. But I have profound respect for people with great artistry on their body. I love it. It's like, you know, like you are the canvas. I just love it.
Yeah.
Now, bad tattoos are bad. I
love my art. Patrick is amazing in so many ways, but as are you. For many reasons, Sia, but you and I got to spend 2 hours together this past Tuesday, less than a week ago, celebrating Giving Tuesday, highlighting 12 organizations over the course of 2 hours. And it was just a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite shows of the year where we get to do what I call the speed dating of giving. And I'm hoping that many, if not all, the organizations we were able to uplift and highlight were able to surpass their Giving Tuesday goals. I know a few of them were Headwaters, Farmhouse and Academy. They met their match, $25,000. So they met $50,000 on Giving Tuesday. I know SLSF surpassed their goal of $1,000. So a lot of success all around, which is super, super exciting. But not only because of that Giving Tuesday event, but we've been busy in general, right? I know you've been super, super, super busy doing some work that I hold near and dear to my heart that I was able to kind of share in the fun this past summer in Chicago. So you want to talk about some of the things you've been doing as of late?
Yeah, no, this weekend we actually were busy with the Abilities Expo, and it is an expo celebrating all abilities. And as you know, maybe those that don't know, I have started another business. We launched a new community called AE Corner Community. It's adaptive equipment for everyday living. And we are a community of entrepreneurs who have created products. Again, I call it the unsexy stuff for everyday living, but it's all adaptive tools and products to help everyone live with dignity, with independence, and live with comfort. And so with that, our booth was hella busy. There's no two ways about it. And you see three of our inventors were there, Janice, Faye, and then in the back there is Diane. And we had Miss Texas, Miss Wheelchair Texas came by and stopped by as well.
About that.
So really cool. Just talking to the community, hearing about what they need, hearing some of their challenges. It was really great to take that feedback, and we'll take it back to our community. And if we find inventors, if anybody's in the adaptive equipment space, we want to speak with you because we want to amplify you and highlight you. It just happened to be Chris. Wow. I was so thrilled.
What was that? Oh my God. That's the first time that's ever happened.
Well, I wasn't saying the name. I was saying, oh my goodness. And then it just came out all wrong. And I was like, oh, and then I stopped myself. Sorry.
So funny.
We'll gloss over. But 10 products were represented. All 10 happen to be female entrepreneurs, innovators that have patented products, and they happen to be OTPTST, so occupational therapist, physical therapist, speech therapist, etc. So really exciting, our representation.
Exciting. I'm getting FOMO because I was so honored to have served as the booth MC in Chicago this past summer and had just one of the most memorable experiences connecting, as you said, with the attendees, hearing such amazing stories, but also seeing just fantastic products that are designed to uplift various populations that may need a little extra assistance. And that's really why I love the AE Corner community, because they're just good people doing good work, which is what I tried to do and what I hope to have done. This past Tuesday, not only did we have the Giving Tuesday Giveathon with 12 organizations, but then that night, I was so honored and excited to have served as the MC and bingo caller for Jerry's Cafe. Jerry's was also a guest on the Giving Tuesday Giveathon. But we had 200 bingo players at Arlington Ale House Tuesday night, and I was calling bingo, having the time of my life. There you see Jennifer. She's one of the amazing teammates at Jerry's. She happened to win bingo, and she won one of the gift baskets and just had such kind things to say about being an employee of Jerry's, right? And then we had 067, so 067 got called. And so I made all the attendees get up and do the silly 067. So that's what you see.
200. You did not do 67. I sure please. Did.
I sure did. I sure did. And it made for a great picture. Look at that, right? So 200 adults in the room doing the 67 Weeble Wobble or whatever the heck it's called was a heck of a lot of fun. And Jerry's, met their goal as well that night. So Giving Tuesday was a huge success all around for many reasons. And it's also, as we talk to some of these amazing organizations, not only was it about money, but it was about the gift of volunteerism, the gift of giving items, but also what we didn't highlight was the gift of connection, right? Mm. I was so excited to have connected with Trieger Strasberg, the founder of Humble Design, as she kind of rounded out the event that night, that afternoon, as our last guest. And I was so excited to hear briefly about what Humble Design does and how it got started that we were eager to get her back. And so see a little bit more in depth, obviously, as we talked about, Humble Design's goal is to help end homelessness one house at a time, furnishing homes for people transitioning out of homeless into stable housing with the goal of creating dignity through thoughtful design. This organization was started in 2009. Trieger Strasberg, as I said, is our next guest, the founder of the organization. She did not intend to start a national nonprofit. She did not plan to help thousands of individuals throughout our country. She didn't aim to help stop homelessness. She just wanted to help a friend, one person, which is what we're going to hear about, which is so inspiring. But since the organization was founded in 2009, Humble Design has served 12,199 people. 7,497 of them are children who now have beds to sleep in because of their work. 4,160 homes have been designed through their just exceptional work in making our world a better place. So Sia, while I love you and you do amazing work, we're going to hear more about Humble Design through Trieger Strasberg. So please welcome her to the stage.
All right. Thank you, guys. See you next time.
Hello, Trieger. How are you? You're sideways, but
hey, hold on. My sideways.
You're back. Go. You're in one of the most beautiful settings we've had through our time having guests on. And as I said earlier, the story of Humble Design is just so amazing and inspiring in many ways. And I was so excited to get to know you.
Goodness.
through our Giving Tuesday event last
I don't know
week.
Why it's not working. Thank you.
That's okay. We'll roll with it. But as I said, I was so inspired to hear briefly the story of Humble Design on Giving Tuesday last week that I was excited to have you back and couldn't wait to get you on. So here we are. So if you don't mind, please let folks know who you are and what Humble Design's all about before we get into the nitty-gritty.
Sure. I'm just apologizing to you, the people watching, that I'm going to have to be long ways. I am back of a van. My husband and I are living the van life and traveling the country. So patience. My name is Trigger Strasberg. I am the founder of Humble Design. And what we do is we furnish for families who are leaving the homeless shelters across this country. And when they leave the shelter and get into their own home, usually they leave with nothing and are sleeping on the floor. I encountered this in my own life when I'm friends with who was leaving a shelter with her. So, are you still there?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, great, sorry. I froze there. Okay, great. So what ended up happening was I ended up furnishing my friend's home from top to bottom with the things that she and her kids wanted to see in it. And I did it with all donated goods from the community. And believe it or not, every home and every family that we furnish for is done the exact same way. So we make friends with our clients who are leaving the shelter with their children, or if they're veterans, or if they're on their own, and we get to know them and understand what they like. And then we have huge warehouses in all of our cities filled with donated goods from the community. And those interior designers and volunteers use those goods to furnish a home that is dedicated and specified specifically for our clients. And it turns out to be a really personal and dignifying and empathetic way to go about the continuum of care. And it ended up that our statistics, which we'll talk about in a minute, are far surpass what is normally expected from a continuum of care unhoused nonprofit. And so a lot of people are studying now why this works, which is really incredible for me, who just wanted to help a friend in need.
I love it. And that's how most things start, right? Great people like yourself find one person or one problem and they work to solve that. And before you know it, you have a national nonprofit across four cities. And for those of you that are watching, as Trigger said, she's traveling throughout the United States, living an awesome life, having some troubles with her camera. So if you don't see her on screen, that's why. But fortunately, and most importantly, we can hear you, Trigger. So let's not change anything.
Thank you.
So thank you for rolling with us. But I want to get in a little bit about that, right? As you said, you wanted to help just one person and you were working closely with a friend, I believe in 2009, that kind of spawned this amazing organization. So can you give a little bit of background on how that actually played into what, you know, Humble Design's become today?
Yeah. So I was volunteering at a nonprofit. I'm a graphic designer by trade. And so I wanted to make sure that I didn't lose my graphic design skills, and my kids were very young. I wasn't able to go to work full time because I wanted to be home for my children. So I volunteered my time at this nonprofit. I made friends with the woman who ran the front desk, who was just this amazing, glowing individual. And after 6 weeks of being friends, she said to me, "I'm really, really tired today. I'm sorry, I'm not doing a lot of talking." And I said, "Well, what's going on?" She said, "Well, the homeless shelter is really loud and I'm not getting much sleep with my kids." And I thought she was volunteering because I was so privileged and out of touch at that moment in my life. I had never met somebody who was experiencing homelessness. And so I just, when she told me that, no, she was homeless, I just about fell out of my chair. And so I cried with her and we talked about how this happened. And, you know, a woman, with a full-time job and a degree and two kids, and it happens a lot in this country. And so when she finally was able to share the news with me that she had moved into a house, I was so excited for her. And I went down to go see her and her children at the house, and they were sleeping on the floor with their winter coats. And they had staked out which room they wanted with their coats on the floor. And I cried the whole way home. I wouldn't let her see me cry because I didn't want her to think that I felt any way about it. And then I emptied out everything in my house that I didn't need or that my children didn't need. And then I asked my neighbor, "Hey, is there anything that you have that you can give?" And then I started asking people in the checkout line of the grocery store, and I had only been in town for 6 weeks. So it's not like I had a large amount of friends or anything. And people started to really rotate around this idea and dropping stuff off. And my friend had a pickup truck, and we would drive all over town and pick up people's donated goods. And within 6 weeks, her entire place from top to bottom was not only furnished, but it was furnished in a way that felt dignified and that I had listened to the things that she liked because she was my friend. And I found through that process that I was happier than I'd ever been. Yes, I was so happy that Krista was happy and that she was getting the things that she needed. My friend was, you know, getting the home that she had envisioned. Mm-hmm. But I was happier than I've ever been in my whole life. And I think that was really telling for me. That changed my life.
Yeah, there's something to be said about the old saying, it's better to give than receive, isn't it? And as I said, you know, in my experience in working with great organizations and great people like yourself, I've come to find that impactful organizations start with one small experience, one small idea, one small understanding of a problem. And you taking, you know, your friend's situation and now scaling it, frankly, right? Four cities across the United States, Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago, and San Diego, if I'm not mistaken. You know, and as I earlier said, if you didn't hear, and of course you know these numbers, but 12,199 people served to date, almost 8,000 children now have beds, as you explained so beautifully and humbly earlier, children staking out their rooms with their coats, right? How unfortunate and how inspiring that you've done such great work to change that, frankly. And then almost, you know, 4,160 homes completely designed and furnished. That's no small feat. So, Trigger, if you don't mind, talk a little bit about the scaling process. Yeah. How did you go from this one problem of your friends to solve to now working, you know, this national organization and continuing to grow?
So I always thought that I would be doing this project in addition to my regular work, which was going to be a graphic designer in advertising, right? So I was doing one home every 6 weeks with my friend. We were gathering all the furniture, and then we would call the shelter and say, hey, we have enough furniture for, you know, a two-bedroom with a little boy. We have a blue crib. And they would pair us with a family that would work. But about a year into this side project, we had 100 families on our waiting list, which meant 400 individuals wow. that were sleeping on the floor in Detroit that I couldn't get to. And we were this tiny organization, but we were the only one filling this need. I don't know if your audience knows, but this is not a nonprofit that has already been invented in lots of ways. There is not a national nonprofit or a large-scale nonprofit that pairs people with furniture. There are furniture banks and there are little, you know, projects here and there, but this was really a hole in the system. So what ended up happening after I realized that there was 400 people on the waiting list is I cried, which this is what I do. I'm an empath. I cried.
I love it.
And I had a long talk with my I just say, yeah, well, I cry a lot, but it's because like I really do feel things. And I try to put myself in other people's shoes. Even one night on the floor is really hard on your body. So I had a long talk with my husband, who feels the same way as I do. And he and I made a decision to invest. And instead of investing for profit, and to, you know, get a monetary return, we were going to get a return that was from our community. And that made us feel good. And that made us put our heads on the pillow at night and feel like we had done something. So we invested our money and we got a truck and we got a warehouse and we got some employees and we started planning events and doing things. And we got from one house every 6 weeks to one house every 3 weeks to one house a week.
Wow.
And then the community started donating and we started having events and we started writing grants. And from there, we got a little bit of a bigger warehouse. The big breakthrough for us was we had a truck that was plugged in like a go-kart at night to charge because the battery kept draining and we couldn't keep it going. And it was just like a really old truck. And so I had met, I went to a birthday party for someone and Cynthia and Edsel Ford were there. Because I was in Detroit and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to meet them. So I went up there, their royalty in Detroit. And I walked up and I explained the situation. She goes, oh yeah, I've heard about you guys. How are you doing? And I said, listen, our truck is plugged in at night, but other than that, we're okay. And she called U-Haul, Joe Schoen over at U-Haul. And she said, hey, there's an organization that really needs a truck. And so U-Haul donated our very first truck. And I was so I mean, I cried. I of course I cried. Your audience knows I cried, but I did. I was so grateful. And it was like such a big breakthrough for me that I flew to Phoenix to thank them in person. And when I flew to Phoenix to thank you all in person, I told them of my grand scheme, my dream to bring this to every city that needs us and to be nationwide and to think really big and audaciously. And they agreed with me. So the second city that we went to was Chicago, because U-Haul gave us the truck and the warehouse space, which was our two biggest overhead needs. And then we kept growing and growing and growing. And then we went to Cleveland with the help of Progressive. We went to San Diego. We were in Seattle for a while. And every time we did a home out of these cities, it was done with such love and care and honoring the way that the organization was started because of the leadership. The leadership at Humble Design instinctively knows that empathy and dignity need to be at the beginning of the conversation and not tacked on at the end. And our staff, we have 51, I believe now, and thousands of volunteers all get this in their bones. They get there's no world in which beggars can't be choosers is in our vocabulary. We believe everybody needs dignity, empathy, start with kindness, start with understanding, listen. And it is an incredible group of people that we've put together. The community around Humble is probably the thing I'm most proud of.
Listen, my jaw was dropped, not because I was bored, but because I was amazed, right? To have the tenacity and the forwardness to go to, as you call them, Detroit royalty, to just not only introduce yourself and your organization, but to be so forward to say, hey, we have a problem and you're able to help fix it, will you, right? And I know you didn't go towards it with that type of aggression, but it takes that type of tenacity to grow an organization like Humble Design, right? As humble as you are, as a play on words, right? You don't get what you don't ask for, frankly, right?
I always say you can hire expertise, you can pay for experience, but you cannot hire obsession. And I was obsessed. Obsession just comes from people who surround yourself with who really believe in what you're doing. And not only am I obsessed, but the people who we have surrounding at Humble Design are obsessed.
I know it firsthand, because as we were planning this show and as I've been so fortunate to get to know the team at Humble Design, you know, there are so many great individuals who are reaching out to me. Hey, Chris, how can we help? Or hey, what do you need us to take off of your plate to make sure that this goes well? Like, it's almost overwhelming, not because I'm overwhelmed, but because there's just so much goodness going on, right? There's just so many good people behind the engine that is Humble Design. And it's just a testament to you, Trigger, in so many ways, right? The forward thinking you had, the desire you had to go all in with your husband, to get a truck, if you will, and start picking up furniture. And now, as I said, you're furnishing over 4,000 homes, and people are, you know, they're staying in their homes, right? That I know is so important to you and to the organization. The metrics, the data that shows the work that you're doing is actually impacting. So if you don't mind, talk a little bit about that.
Okay, well, I'm going to say something super shocking, right? As I don't care about the data, and I'll tell you why. When I see a family walk home and burst into tears, or a child jump into their bed and read their very first book in their own bed in their safe space with their name above their bed, or a mom sit on the end of her bed and just sag with relief because the last year has been so hard, and here's a home that she gets to come home to and feel proud of. Like, if that didn't really work, if that wasn't something that was sustainable, I would still do this. I would still do it because I just love that feeling of offering a moment of happiness and relief. But it turns out that it does work, and I'm super happy that it does. So without our help, about 50% of the United States, once families leave an unhoused situation, they go back into homelessness. And that's a really high number, because we think that just getting housing is the end of the story, but it's really not. And so what ends up happening with Humble Design is UCSD did a study on a large portion of our past clients, and 95 to 98% of our clients stay sustainably housed. Not only that, but their mental health has improved. Their financial well-being has improved. Their community involvement has improved. Statistics off the charts, up to 86, 90% of families report having better grades in school. It's not just furniture, right? It tends to be glossed over that connection with your community and making people feel welcome is something that we should just think about after we think about food, water, shelter. But really, that the core of all of these needs that we talk about, the hierarchy of needs, starts with just feeling like you're a human being and that people want you there and that you have worth, and everything else can fall in after that. And I think what our program does is not deliver furniture. I think what we do is we remind people that they have dignity and that their community loves them.
I love it. I can hear the passion in your voice, and I can only imagine if we were able to see your beautiful face, there'd probably be a tear or two streaming down your cheek. But in all seriousness, right, that's what it's all about. I think for somebody like myself, who again has the fortunate opportunity of meeting so many great people with such great missions, intending to make our world a better place in their own way, form or fashion or niche. But at the end of the day, that's all we're trying to give in our own way is hope, right? And is to provide a space where people can feel safe and feel heard and have dignity, and make them believe, because it is true, that the world is better for them being here, right? You mentioned mental health, right? Obviously, that's a strong passion of mine in other areas of my life. And knowing what a safe space that's reflective of your interests and who you are and what you like and have interest in really does better one's mental health. And so I know firsthand the work that is that you all do and how it attributes to the betterment of mental health, which makes me even more excited to get to know you folks. And it doesn't surprise me that you don't care about data, but I knew you'd know the numbers when I was getting to the matter about making sure that individuals remain housed and stay in shelter and have a fruitful life, because they deserve it no matter their circumstances, frankly, correct?
Yeah, and so that's our North Star. We have some language around that there isn't a person alive who doesn't deserve to feel safe, who doesn't deserve to have empathy and dignity, regardless of their journey, especially the children. The children are collateral damage in all of this, and we don't talk about that enough. But I really do believe at my very, very core, at my core being, that we are all the same. And that none of us were born inherently worse or better than anyone else. And I really do believe that the people we've surrounded ourselves with believe that too. So if any of you listening ever want to come down and see this in person, I mean, we do 3 homes a week in each city, which is another statistic I'm really proud of. We're getting up to 4 homes a week in some cities as well. And so there's so many opportunities to engage. And if anybody feels, gosh, like the world is crumbling around them, I get a lot of that question of like, I feel hopeless, or I don't feel like people are good anymore, and all these things, I will prove you wrong 100%. Come on down to a Humble Design house 3 days a week in any of the cities that we're in, and you will feel connected again. It's impossible not to.
I love it. So to find out more about Humble Design, as has been scrolling at the bottom of the screen, humbledesign.org, humbledesign.org. There you can find out all about the events of which Humble is putting forth to make our world a better place. You can volunteer, you could donate, you could do all the things that are necessary to continue uplifting Humble Design. So Trigger, if you don't mind, as time winds down, unfortunately, we can go on forever, I'm sure. What are some of the things that one can do to help uplift Humble Design to make sure that your mission continues to grow?
Well, we are platinum rated on all of the giving sites. And so we give a giant portion of your donation goes directly to our programming. We run very lean, thank goodness, to all of our leadership and our board. And so every dollar that you donate, you know, goes directly to help families in need. And also that our program is effective. If you're worried about, oh, I don't know what to give to because I'm not sure what's really working and I don't know, this is 100% proven effective to help with the homelessness crisis in our country. So you can be comfortable with your monetary donations. Also, come and check us out. If you're in one of our cities, come in down to the warehouse. It is so much flipping fun to see everybody in there crafting and moving furniture around and packing up for the week, and then come down to the house. So look us up, help us get to, we're trying to move to 4 homes a week per city to help more families. And if we can dream a big audacious goal of getting to every city in this country that needs us, which is basically basically all of them at this point, that would be the big dream of Humble. So check us out, go online, donate to us, tell your friends, and then come on down.
I love it. I love it. You heard it from the best. Unfortunately, we couldn't see her, but that's quite all right.
I'm so sorry.
No, listen, the messaging is most important, of course. And today's message has just been so uplifting, inspiring, encouraging, and continues to give me hope that our world is being made a better place through the work of folks like yourself and organizations like Humble Design. So, Trigger, thank you so much for joining me today. If you haven't already, please connect with her on LinkedIn, follow Humble Design, and all four cities, Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago, and San Diego on Instagram. You can get more information about those cities there as well. Am I forgetting anything, Trigger, before we say goodbye for the day?
I just want to thank you. Like, you know, there's not very many people out there who are like you, who will just highlight the work that these little nonprofits are doing and help us. And I just want to say thank you. And your heart is so big.
Well, so is my mouth. No, I'm just kidding.
Perfect.
I'm so honored to have this small platform to share it and uplift organizations like yourself and, Humble. And it's just, it's what's needed more of, I feel, in the world. And so it's my honor to have you on. And thank you for those kind words, Trigger. But of course, it wouldn't be possible, Sia, if not for our sponsors. Of course, Speakeasy Custom Tattoo, my personal tattoo artist, Patrick Coronolo. They also have amazing guests from all over the world. If you haven't already, please be sure to check out their website at speakeasycustomtattoo.com. Tell them Chris sent you. This show would not be possible without the excellent and amazing production of Brilliant Beam Media, and Sia Yasatornrat, who we met and get to see each and every week at the start of the show. And she's one of my best friends in life. And without her, I don't know where I'd be. But most importantly, the production is second to none, top notch. If you have any production podcast needs, creative content management, social media management, Sia is your gal and Brilliant Beam Media is your place. We have some other sponsors, which we're going to highlight. But once again, thanks again for tuning in. It's been a heck of a lot of fun highlighting Humble Design. Have a great rest of your week, and hail, hail.
Falling asleep with your neck in the wrong position can be a real pain in the neck. Literally. People of all ages are falling for Tossie. Tossie gives you the comfort you've always dreamed of. Go to TossieBrands.com and get your comfort on.